Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, "Have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Please repeat after me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, "Have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Purport, it's a very short purport, but power-packed. This is the process of spiritual understanding. Achincha kalo ye bhava na tam starkena yojayet. We should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument and counter-argument. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities coming down in the parampara system. If we approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation again. This Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, "Have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." So for those who have not been following, we are in a very wonderful and interesting part of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's traveling to different holy places. He then passes Mathura and comes to a place, I can't remember it off the top of my head now. And there he meets a Brahmana and he stays with the Brahmana. And this Brahmana was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, a great devotee, very advanced devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that he was not cooking his meals. So he inquired from the Brahmana, why aren't you cooking? And then he said, oh, Lakshman has not collected the bhoga yet. He's still out collecting. And when he collects it, then we shall cook. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with that mood, you know, very personal mood. So eventually the bhoga arrived and the Brahmana cooked and offered it to the Lord. And then he offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu some prasad. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that the Brahmana was fasting. And he seemed very dejected and morose. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him why he was fasting. And then he replied that he's fasting because his mind is very disturbed. He's feeling very depressed. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, what is the cause of your depression? And then he said, Sita Devi, she's the goddess of fortune. She's the most chaste of all ladies. But she has been touched by another man, Ravana. So her chastity has been tainted. And this disturbs my mind greatly. This was the cause of his dejection. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him that his dejection was unfounded because Ravana never touched Sita Devi. When Ravana came to capture Sita Devi, before he could even approach her, the real Sita Devi was taken away by Agnidev and kept with him. And a Maya Sita was put. So Ravana never touched Sita Devi. The only contact he had was with the Maya Sita Devi. So Mahaprabhu said, and this is from the previous verse, spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas. Prabhupada explains, let alone touch. One who is on the material platform cannot even see the transcendental. So Mahaprabhu explained the real understanding and pacified the Brahmana. And then Mahaprabhu reassuredly spoke this verse. Mahaprabhu said, have faith in my words and do not disturb, burden your mind any longer with this misconception. Now there is some nice points to discuss both in the verse and the purport. And I'll pick out 3 points in particular that I'll try to discuss. And So the first interesting word I found in the translation of this verse is the word burden. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, please don't be burdened. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes more often than we would like to, we become burdened. And that burden arises in the mind. So we carry the burden of the mind. And this burden can take different shapes and forms. It can take the form of being burdened by our maintenance. It can take the form of being burdened by our protection. It can take the form of having some misconception of some spiritual understanding. It can take the form of not understanding the Vaishnavas or the position of the spiritual master. So there are so many burdens that may sometimes inflict us, all because of the condition of the mind. Srila Prabhupada in one letter to his disciple Teji Das on the 19th of December 1972. Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna consciousness means we should always be happy and satisfied. And Prabhupada then writes in the same letter, a devotee should never be unhappy, never be unhappy. And when Krishna notices that a devotee is unhappy, depressed, or troubled, then Krishna takes action. Isn't that nice to know? So we see that very nicely illustrated in this point here. Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, at the beginning, he lists 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. And the very first characteristic he lists is, where's the Bhakti Shastris here? Who knows the very first characteristic of pure devotional service? That's the definition. Kleshagni. Kleshagni. Pure devotional service brings immediate distress from material miseries. And then Srila Rupa Goswami then goes on to explain that there are 3 sources of material miseries. But I won't get into that now. It's basically ignorance and the results of our sinful activities. So in Krishna consciousness, the first characteristic is immediate relief from material distress. So a devotee should never be bothered. And Krishna does not like to see a devotee burdened. Even we see in the start of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was so burdened because he couldn't understand what was his duty. And then Krishna spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita to relieve him of this burden. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire Bhagavad Gita is said to be condensed in the 4 nutshell verses. That's chapter 10, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And if we analyze these 10 verses, we see 2 of these verses, verses 10 and 11, is very much in connection with this particular subject of Krishna, what not wanting his devotees to be burdened and how he takes action. And text number 10, most of us know. You'll know, children? What's text number 10? Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna says to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna is saying that pritipurvakam, if we are devoted to serving him, we should always be rest assured that he will give us the understanding by which we can come to him. So there's no scope for moroseness and depression in Krishna consciousness. And then the very next verse, Krishna goes on to even further elaborate. Tesham eva nukampartam aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bashvata. Krishna says, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is very, very kind to his devotees. He's always looking after the devotee. He never wants to see the devotee unhappy. And he makes all sorts of arrangements that his devotee may be pacified. And here we see it, a real life example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we look at this particular chapter, these last few incidents, first we had the incident of the illiterate Brahmana. Then we had the incident of Venkata Bhatta, and now we have this incident of the Brahmana devotee. And these 2 incidents, the first one, the illiterate Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reassuring him. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reassuring him. People may think you are ignorant. People may laugh at you that you are ignorant and looking at the Bhagavad Gita and crying. But you are the best student of the Bhagavad Gita because you understand it. And here, you know, we see also that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reassuring the Brahmana. So a devotee should not be carrying any burdens. Actually, that's not true. A devotee does carry some burden. Actually, Prabhupada explains that in one of the verses, the purpose in chapter 3, Canto 3, chapter 3. Prabhupada says, a devotee carries the burden of love. That is the burden the devotee carries, the burden of love. And in connection with the sadhaka, the order of the spiritual master. As Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Maharaj was telling us how every year during the disappearance day celebrations of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees go to Srila Prabhupada's room. And at some point in the ceremony, they pass around and they put on the devotee's head some of Srila Prabhupada's paraphernalia. And he was saying how his Guru Maharaj Kadambakanan Swami said, every time they put that on their head, they feel like a mountain of weight. And that's the weight of the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Go out and preach this Krishna consciousness. Give everyone Krishna consciousness. That is the burden of love that the devotee carries. There's one story. Srila Prabhupada was with His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami. And Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami was the head of the Bhakti Vedanta Institute. And he was saying to Prabhupada, I have just a small department to manage, Bhakti Vedanta Institute. And there is so many problems, so many management issues, so many things to deal with. I can only imagine, Srila Prabhupada, what problems you must be undergoing. You manage this entire society. And Prabhupada says, problems? I don't see any problems. I only see the order of my Guru Maharaj. So this is the burden of love that the devotees carry. Srila Prabhupada said, I want every respectable family to have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Acharya has given the order. He's placed this on our head. So we should be thinking, as Prabhupada says, how to do. And Prabhupada says, simply by thinking how to do, we become liberated. And in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this burden of love is something very nice. Because it makes us feel separation. So that's very nice. So the other very interesting part of this verse is this very first word. What is the very first word? Vishvas. What is the meaning of Vishvas? Trust. Trust, sometimes Prabhupada translated as faith. And in this particular verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse number 10, in which Srila Prabhupada gives the translation to the definition of Sharanagati. The six angas of Sharanagati anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjana rakshasya titi vishvaso goptutve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanya sadvidi sharanagati. So one of the aspects of sharanagati, surrender, is vishvas. Vishvas means, Prabhupada translates as strong conviction, strong faith that Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector. So in this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Vishvas karaha tumi amara vachane. Vachane means instruction, speech. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, have faith in my words. And Srila Prabhupada, the very first statement he makes in the purport is, this is the process for spiritual understanding. Krishna consciousness is the process of spiritual understanding. And one has to understand the process. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives how we should not get spiritual understanding. And then Prabhupada talks about the means by which we should get spiritual understanding. It's very important. This is a fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness. And in this connection, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Achintya kalu ye bhava natam tarakena yojayet. Now this is a very famous verse that Srila Prabhupada often quotes to make a very important spiritual point. Does anyone know where this verse comes from? What is the quotation for this verse? What's the source of this verse? Anybody knows? Okay, Srila Prabhupada gives this in the Adi Leela, chapter 17, verse 308. And actually Prabhupada quotes the full verse there. Achincha kalu ye bhava na tams tarakena yojayet. Prakriti bhya param yachat tad achintyasya lakshanam. And the translation of this verse, very important. Anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable, whereas arguments are all mundane. Since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane arguments. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, this verse from the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva 522, is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2593 by Srila Rupa Goswami. So the origin of this verse is Bhishma Dev in the Mahabharata. So let's just look at this verse a little bit more, because it's very, very important. And Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives a very nice translation. He said, you should not try to understand things beyond our material conception. So the normal tendency for one in material consciousness is to try to understand something through one's own mental abilities or through one's sense of logic. I was listening to a very nice lecture, beautiful lecture last night that Srila Prabhupada gave, where he speaks about this. It is just absolutely fantastic. And Prabhupada says, we can understand logic. Prabhupada says, you were an individual in your last life. You are an individual now. It's logical you'll be an individual in your next life. And Prabhupada is defeating the Mayavadis, where they say, this verse, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of the kings on this battlefield. Najatum. So Prabhupada says, that's logical. Then Prabhupada says, another way to understand logic. Last year, during this time, it was winter. It became colder. There was some snow. It was winter. So this year, when it comes to this time of the year, you can understand it's going to be winter. And then next year, through logic, we'll have winter during December again. Prabhupada says that's logic. But Prabhupada says, but there is something, many things that are beyond mundane logic. And that is called achintya, inconceivable. Much of spiritual understanding, which is transcendental to material understanding, is inconceivable. We cannot understand it by mundane logic. And then Prabhupada gives an example. It's just like the Vedas. The Veda says that the conch shell, which we just heard now, conch shell is pure. But we know the conch shell is the bone of a living entity. And we know from Vedic literature, any bone is unclean, contaminated. But yet, we use the conch shell on the altar. Can you understand that by any logic? No, you can't. Prabhupada then says, stool. Stool is untouchable. If you touch stool, you become contaminated. Yet, the stool of the cow is considered to be pure. Can you understand that by logic? No, you can't. You cannot understand many things by logic. So how do we understand them? Then Prabhupada, he explained something very beautiful. He said, if you want to understand, what are the ways you can understand? He said, first way is logic, but we just spoke about it. Logic you can't understand. Then he said, the other way you can understand is through the scriptures. But he said, the scriptures are contradictory. He said, our scripture says, the cow is holy, we don't eat the cow. But the Muslim scriptures say, we can eat the cow. He's saying, so scriptures are contradictory. This is Prabhupada saying it, you can even listen to it yourself. Prabhupada is saying this. He's saying they're contradictory. So you can't understand it through the scriptures. Then he says, how can you understand it? Maybe through some philosophy, through some philosopher. He said, but the philosopher is under the modes of nature. So you can't trust him. And Prabhupada says, there is only one way. And what is that way? He said it in the purport. Mahajana yena ganta sapanta. We can only understand the true meaning. What is the meaning in the scriptures? Through the Mahajans. And then Prabhupada, he gives two beautiful examples. He talks about, and both from his own life. He says sometimes, he talks about the field. He says there are lots, big, big fields. And he said you want to walk across the field, but you don't want to walk across the wrong place. How do you walk across this field? He says, you look and you see if some great personalities have made a path through. It's true. Imagine just for a moment, there is a big, vast, dense forest in front of us. Very dense. And we want to get to the other side of the forest. So we start. We take our little bush knife and we cut this brush and we go this way. Then we think, oh no, which direction am I heading? Then you go this way, you cut. And everything is so dense, it's so difficult, you can't get across. But imagine someone has cut a path through the forest for you. You just follow this path and you come out the other way safe and sound very quickly. So spiritual life is like that. The great spiritual personalities, the Mahajans, they have shown us the way. They have laid out the way for us. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to wreck our brains. We simply have to follow the Mahajans. And if we follow the Mahajans, the great personalities, then, as Prabhupada says here, spiritual life becomes very easy. Very easy. And Prabhupada talks in the purport that we cannot understand the spiritual conception by argument and counter-argument. Sometimes in our spiritual life, we see this happen quite often. And if you are a follower of Facebook, you can see people really get into it. Is bhakti the inherent nature of the soul or not? This is one very relevant argument taking place at the moment. You know, there's so many arguments and counter-arguments that take place. Is the Ritvik philosophy the right philosophy? So many arguments. People, they completely immerse themselves in the situation. But we learn from our acharyas that this is not the way to do it. And we see this in the life of Srila Rupa Goswami. And even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord showed. The Lord, first he encountered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. For 7 days and seven nights, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking. Like when we're in an argument with someone, the first thing we want to do is get a word in. Wait, Prabhu. You know, so we stop. We want to get our word in. Establish or put in our counter-argument. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was silent. For 7 days and seven nights, he simply heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speak. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking, maybe the sannyasi is not understanding. So he tells Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think maybe you're not understanding, because for 7 days and seven nights, all you did was listen without one question, one interruption. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I understood perfectly. But what you were speaking is not the correct understanding. You were saying something else. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nicely explained what is the example, the understanding of Vedanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares. There he met Prakashananda Sarasvati and his 10,000 disciples. They laughed at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They criticized him. They actually used the word bhava bhuvikaha. He's just a sentimentalist. And they said, give up this chanting and come and join us and study Vedanta. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't argue. He didn't get into a big debate with them. They were having this big conference. He sat at the back where people washed their feet. And then he exhibited the effulgence of 1,000 suns. And all the Mayavadis, they turned around and looked, who is this person? He's so effulgent, he can't be an ordinary personality. Then Prakashananda Sarasvati got up. He went all the way to the back. He took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the hand and he brought him. He said, sit. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, my spiritual master said, I am a fool. I should simply chant Hare Krishna. And therefore, I am chanting this Hare Krishna. And then they said, actually, it's such a beautiful pastime, this. at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he displayed how a Vaishnav should behave. How should a Vaishnav, if we have to get into some sort of a debate with anybody, how it should be done? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely disarmed him by his humility. He was so humble, he was taking, that they said by themselves, "Now you please speak, because we know you will not be unreasonable in whatever you say." Normal argument is, at the center of the argument is the ego. The person is not really even listening to what the argument is. In their mind they're thinking, "How I'm going to defeat, so I don't get defeated." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not going to engage in such a debate. So when they said, "We know that whatever you say won't be unreasonable," they were completely in a position that they were ready to listen to whatever Mahaprabhu said. And Mahaprabhu said, the meaning of Vedanta is very simple. What Shankaracharya has done, he has given a speculative understanding of what Vedanta is. And then he explained it to them and they accepted. Once Srila Rupa Goswami, he was challenged by a Digvijay, Rupa Narayan. So Rupa Narayan was a Digvijay, and what their job is to establish themselves as the greatest scholars. They go to village, they'll pick out who's the greatest pundit in that village, they'll challenge them to a debate, they'll win the debate, and they'll make them sign a certificate. I've been defeated by Rupa Narayan. He's a greater pundit than me. Keep his certificates, and he goes on to the next village, establishing himself. So he heard that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were the foremost scholars. So they went to Vrindavan, and he said, "Let's have a debate." And Rupa Goswami said, "Debate? Why you want to be a debate?" He said, "Because we have to establish who's the greater pandit." They said, "You already the greater pandit than us. Give us a certificate. We sign." Signed, gave him. "You are greater pandit than us." They were not worried about getting into arguments and counter-arguments and wasting their time in all of that. "Yeah, you want certificate? Yeah, you got it. Take it." But Jiva Goswami, he thought that his spiritual masters were being offended. And he said, "I'll challenge you. I am the disciple. If the disciple can defeat you, then surely my spiritual master is greater than you." Debated it with him for 7 days, completely defeated him. He went happily to Rupa Goswami and said, "I defeated him because he insulted you." Rupa Goswami said, "This is nonsense. We don't do this in Vaishnava culture. We don't waste our time in debates. You've committed an offense. I don't want to see your face again. Go." And in this way, Jiva Goswami, he became so morose. It is said that he entered into a crocodile hole. He fasted. He became completely weak. And then finally, Sanatan Goswami went to Rupa Goswami. He says, "What were the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Harinam, Vaishnav Seva, and Jiva Doya." He said, "Are you practicing Jiva Doya? You've chased our Jiva away." And then Rupa Goswami said, "Bring him back." He brought Jiva Goswami and he personally nursed Jiva Goswami, back to his normal self. So the Vaishnav culture is not, not to get engaged in debate and counter arguments and so on. For us, the method, the process is we follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, the great personalities. They are But someone may challenge. There is one verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 2117. Many of you may know this verse. Siddhanta Balaya Chetena Kara Alas Iya Hoite Krishna Lage Surida Manasa. There in this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, a sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. This is a famous verse where Krishnadas Kaviraj saying, a devotee should not be intellectually lazy. Every time we come across something we don't understand, we put it very conveniently in the inconceivable box and we close it. Close it. It's inconceivable. Achintya. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, we should not do that. We should not do that. A devotee should not be neglectful of discussing the conclusions because it strengthens the mind. So someone may ask the question, how does that fit in with the understanding that Srila Prabhupada gives about argument and counter-argument? Actually, there's a big difference, a significant difference. The key word here is discussion. And generally, as Vaishnavas, when we get into discussion, especially in a discussion where we are trying to understand some spiritual concept or some spiritual principle, we discuss in a submissive way. We approach a superior Vaishnava who has the understanding. And Prabhupada says, generally we go and approach the spiritual master. Spiritual master can be Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru. There's a big difference between discussion and argument. In a discussion, one asks questions, one gets a response, one clarifies, and then one continues the discussion till one understands it. Even Prabhupada says in this purport to this verse, Tesham Eva Nukampartam, Prabhupada says that sometimes a devotee is not able to take advantage of the literatures or his spiritual master, but if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within the heart. That's meaning that Krishna is always there to help us. And the meaning of this verse here, Siddhanta Bhaliya Chitta, Nakara Alas, does not mean we get into arguments. It means we try to understand the proper spiritual subject matter through the proper process. I'm noticing in the audience now there's some people are getting a little tired. So in conclusion then, dear devotees, for this verse, it's a beautiful verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling the Brahmana, don't burden yourself with misconceptions. We should never burden ourselves with misconceptions in Krishna consciousness. If we have any misconception, they can be clarified. They should not be clarified through arguments and counter-arguments. But we should clarify and receive our understanding through following the path of the Mahajans. And Prabhupada says, the Acharya. One should keep faith in the words of the Acharya. And if we approach the Acharya, keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. So we should follow the simple process. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions, comments, reflections that anyone has? Yes, Prabhu. Gurudas.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. I was just maybe your thoughts on this, because I know you've helped me out before on ironing out a few thoughts I've had and given me scriptural perspectives, that one way is just doing our devotional service without thinking, without really knowing why. That's one way of doing something. But then there's also understanding why, as you also explained, and understanding what is the meaning of this. Lately, I've also been thinking that there's doing the service, there's also understanding the scriptural reference and understanding of why to do it. Maybe also, at least I'm doing it, and if you'd like to expand on it, also understanding what's my feeling towards it and where am I at in that? What's my mood towards it? Like, for example, if we're told to read the Vaishnav literature, so then we can understand, well, why should I read the Vaishnav literature and then get the explanations of the importance of Shravanam? But then to also be honest myself, you know, how much can I read the Vaishnav literature and what are my feelings toward it and what's the best way for me to embrace this service? Do you think that's risky and speculative, or do you think we should maybe also have that type of introspection about our own feelings towards the certain devotional elements? Thank you, Prabhupada.
Nice question, thank you. I probably try to answer that with one incident. In the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada had a disciple, Garga Muni. So Garga Muni, he didn't feel like bowing down in front of Srila Prabhupada. And so every time Prabhupada would enter, everyone would bow down, but he didn't feel like bowing down. But he was feeling uneasy about it. So one day in a lecture, Prabhupada says, "Is there any questions?" And he said, "Prabhupada, I don't feel like bowing down. Everyone is bowing down, but I don't feel like bowing down. And it's not nice to do something you don't feel like doing. Isn't that so, Prabhupada?" And Prabhupada said, "No, you should bow down and then the feeling will come." So in the process of sadhana bhakti, it's like that. The feeling is not there. What governs us and what directs us is the injunctions of the scripture and the orders of the spiritual master. So in the beginning, we should not be so concerned about the feelings. We should follow and follow with attention. But the feelings will come. The process will make the feelings come. And it'll happen for sure. I think we all know, we've been in Krishna consciousness, that the feelings do come. Maybe in the beginning the feelings were not there, but then the feelings come. Does that answer your question?
Answers quite a lot, Prabhu. Thank you. And I get, just to expand that, for example, we're also saying offer water, leaf to Krishna. But then it says with love. So then, are we expecting that love to just come? Or is it more that we actually have some type of effort to give with love? And then it's like, we're not at the prema stage. So then what is our idea of giving it with love? A couple of points.
Okay. Again, Prabhupada gave an analogy. He says in India, they have arranged marriages. The boy and the girl do not know each other. No love marriage. Right? They get married, they come together. And then the girl serves the husband. Serves the husband very nicely. And through that service, the love comes. So, you know, we may not have the love when we're offering leaf, flower, fruit and water. But through the service, love will awaken. Love will awaken.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prayojan Prabhu.
I quoted this verse from from, I think it's from Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, I became supremely happy knowing that I no longer belong to myself.
That's nice.
Any comments?
Yeah, you know, we have been carrying this burden on our head for so many lifetimes, you know. This big burden of thinking that, you know, we are the enjoyers and we are the controllers. And we've been trying to make so many efforts to establish that. But then when we surrender ourselves, you know, to Krishna, then we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Krishna, and then Krishna takes care of everything. And that's the essence of Sharanagati, isn't it? That I don't belong, I belong to Krishna. Prabhupada says the first stage is I belong to Krishna. And the more advanced stage is Krishna belongs to me. So we need to go to the next stage. First I belong to Krishna, and then later on Krishna belongs to me. Hare Krishna. Any other questions, comments? Is this one question, comment that's probably there? And I'll have some announcements before at the end. Divyaram Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, really your lecture was very strong. And one thing which I felt that the Krishna consciousness is very easy. It is easy. But sometimes I have seen the family circumstances make it very complicated. What we should do in that case, Prabhu? Because all the family members don't support to a devotee.
When it becomes complicated, we surrender, and then we try to surrender even more deeply. You know, we understand, we pray to Krishna, we think, oh, the family members, they're not becoming Krishna conscious, it's becoming an obstacle. Then when Prabhupada went to America, he wrote this poem on the Jaludutta. He says, all of the population is steeped in the mode of ignorance and passion. How will I convince them to take this Krishna consciousness? I can't. I am just like a puppet in your hands, Krishna. So make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. So when it becomes complicated and it becomes difficult, we just try to go deeper in our surrender. It's all Krishna's, in Krishna's hands, isn't it?
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay, if there's one more, yes.
Hare Krishna. When you talk about the stage where you said Krishna belongs to me,
yes.
What exactly do you mean by that?
It's a feeling of possessiveness, like I'll just give you a simple example. In the beginning stage, we feel that Krishna needs to take care of us. But as we become more advanced, we think, oh, if I don't give Krishna a drink today, he's very thirsty. He'll be very thirsty. If I don't give him food today, he's going to be hungry. Just like a mother has a sense of possessiveness with the child, the devotee feels like this. Krishna is my possession. I have to take care of Krishna. He's dependent on me. That's a higher stage, you know, than we feeling ourselves dependent on Krishna. Make sense? Hare Krishna. Okay, we got 5 minutes left. I want to make an announcement, dear devotees. I spoke earlier on about the burden of love. And I spoke about how Krishna is Srila Prabhupada has given us this one particular order that he wanted every respectable home to have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So for many years, this instruction was there, but it was the distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam was taken to be rather incidental. Srimad Bhagavatam was never on the best-selling list of our books. But that all changed a few years ago when a campaign called the Bhadra campaign started. I think when it started off, Vaisheshika Prabhu said, they asked him, how many sets of Srimad Bhagavatam we should print? And he said, print 10,000. The devotee said, 10,000? We haven't even distributed 1,000. Vaisheshika Prabhu said, print. They printed, and the devotees distributed 13,000 sets of Bhagavatam. The next year, the devotee said, let's do 20,000 sets of Bhagavatam. It's the order of the spiritual master. And they said, oh, wow, we just managed to do over 10. He said, do it. And the devotees did 25,000. Then the following year, the goal was 30,000. They did 35,000. And what was most amazing, the biggest scores were achieved in the year that we were in the middle of the pandemic. The goal was set, 35,000 sets. The devotees were ready for it. COVID came. Now normally what everyone would say, ah, oh, forget it. No ways. But the devotees said, no. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Depend on Krishna, depend on Prabhupada, and the devotees did 35,000. So this year, the goal is 55,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivedanta Manor is known as one of the biggest, most vibrant temples in the entire world. Our goal is like a small squirrel, 720 out of the 55,000. Dear devotees, if we don't achieve that, there's something wrong in our consciousness. Bhadra Punima, the Bhadra campaign, is on the 29th of September. To date, we've only done 77 sets. We've got a big way to do. Our motto in Bhaktivedanta Manor for Sankirtan has always been a little from a lot. We don't expect a few devotees to do it. But if the whole community come together and everyone does a little bit, then the goal is easily achieved. So we are making an humble appeal to all of the devotees present here and the devotees present online. Please get involved in the Bhadra campaign. If you never distributed a set of Srimad Bhagavatam before, you feel daunted, you feel intimidated. During this month of Purushottam, we're doing a campaign called the Empowerment Campaign. How you can become empowered to distribute one set of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if anyone wants to know how to join the Empowerment Campaign and what to do, Divyanam Prabhu, who is our Sankirtan leader, is here. I'm also a member of the Gomatsya team. You can speak to me. But dear devotees, this is a humble appeal. It is said during the month of Purushottam, whatever devotional service is performed is even 3 times more than the devotional service performed during the month of Kartik. And it is said we should perform, during this month, we should perform more devotional service and we should give more charity. And the best charity anyone can give is the charity of transcendental knowledge and the charity of Srimad Bhagavatam. So dear devotees, we need you. We desperately need you. We can achieve 720 in the remaining days if everyone becomes involved. Everyone thinks, I've got a burden on my head. It's the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. We should do something. Divyanam Prabhu, you want to add anything? Okay. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande.